You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast. Visit mashthosebuttons.com for a full podcast schedule.
What's going on, my internet warriors? This is Double Tap, a podcast dedicated to the FGC, brought to you by mashthosebuttons.com. I am your host. I am half of this show, Andres Crash Tag Mirandez, and with me, my partner in crime, the World Warrior himself. If you would see his tweets, his updates, and what he's got on his list, the tournaments he has to go, this man quite literally is the World Warrior. Jeremiah Mezzaward, what's going on, homie?
Dude, I don't even have the full list.
I saw that list, and I was like, damn, man, like, you are on the grind. Like, no joke, you are hitting East, West, International. And then you're coming back home, like, you're all over.
I gotta do it. I gotta
Midwest. You're going Midwest in like a week, right? Aren't you in Frosty Faucets too?
Yep. I'm tired.
That's this weekend, right?
I'm already tired thinking about it. Yeah. So after
I was no, that's next weekend. That's next weekend.
So after it's like everything's just happening. You know what I mean? Like, go for broke. That probably like 30 other things in between all that.
That doesn't even count locals. Yeah, that doesn't even count the local play either. But yes, guys, welcome. We are your hosts for this episode. This is episode 65, recorded on the 9th of January, 2018, to be released on the 11th. And if you are new to the show, welcome. Thanks a lot for clicking the link. And somehow, you know, Jared got you convinced that this is an interesting show and have you actually listening. This is a podcast dedicated to everything fighting game community related, whether it's esports, the community itself, our local roots, players, a little bit of drama sprinkled in, you know, reviews, comments, tweets that we get out there as well. And we have, of course, our Twitter at DoubleTapFGC that you can tweet us out at. And yeah, man, we're going to get right into it. We got a pretty good episode. We actually have a character review/reveal that's actually happened today. This is day zero. We'll talk about her literally in 1 second, and a whole bunch of other things that are just coming up. So yeah, just strap in and get ready for this episode. So we're going to start it off right now with our game updates. And nothing on Blaze Blue, man. Crosstag has been super, super under the radar. We've talked about that before. But, my theory is they're waiting for Evil Japan.
Yeah, I definitely could agree with that just because, come on, man. Everybody's trying to release something at Evil Japan right now. So
yeah, it's looking at the numbers, looking at just the play of the attendees. You know, it's already showing that it's going to do well. Like, the tournament's already going to do well on a first-year tournament, like how it is. So I'm convinced that they're going to take, you know, with all that talent there, there's going to be great viewership. And with great viewership, that's like advertising. So you know what? Why not keep the, you know, strike while the iron's hot and release something then? So I think Crosstag, we're going to see a really cool release. Possibly, like you said, you know, Ruby character or something like that. Something that's going to keep the interest going for a while. Because they've already kind of, you know, lick the plate with the Blaze Blue characters themselves. I think they released the last of theirs. Now they have to like hit all the other. And maybe we'll see what that Etcetera character select screen.
I think they're gonna go far fetched, man. I think they need to go far fetched for it. I'm hoping. Okay. Look, I'm just hoping Persona 5 characters make it. That's all I care about.
That would be cool. At least like one or two would be kind of dope. Actually, that would be dope. But yeah, nothing else really going on. So you know, we'll wait to see 2 weeks right now. Is it T-minus 2 weeks? A little over two
roughly,
weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, more or less 2 weeks. It's like a 2 weeks and a day or so before Evo Japan happens. But don't worry. We will definitely bring it to you guys as soon as possible. Maybe even live. I'll be there. Don't worry. So Tekken 7 is another one, man. Like, it's, I mean, we got Noctis on the horizon still. We have no details, actually. There hasn't been no real gameplay details past the trailer that was announced. There hasn't been a release date for him either. You know, I know Namco is now kind of focusing a little bit on Soul Calibur when we talk about something that they actually brought up later. But does that mean Tekken 7 is just going to be on the back burner?
I mean, I would say they're trying to compensate for both and not kill off one or the other. But I mean, Noctis was announced quite a bit ago. We're talking about at least over a month. And Geese did drop not too long ago. So we still have a good amount of time before we probably see Noctis, maybe in like a month or two.
Okay. Maybe. I'm just trying to get more info. Maybe I'm too spoiled by the way NetherRealm does their character releases, which we're about to talk about right now, actually. You know, they drop a trailer with all the characters, and you're like, oh man, here's the fighter pack. I'm hype. Here's the first character. You can already guess who's coming out first, and then they give you a stream. They break it down for you, and then bam. So a Watchtower stream did happen last Friday. It was actually super under the radar for me. I actually had to go look for it. Normally, I tend to see it on my Twitter feed because I follow, you know, Ed Boon or some of the other guys in the production team. But like I just like it just flew under my radar. So I sat down and watched the Enchantress stream. So she is the next character right now that's going to be released. And as a matter of fact, if you're listening to this, she is already released. We are recording this the day she drops, correct?
Keep in mind, she's out for those who have like...
Oh, the fighter pack, right?
Yeah, but it's like the ultimate fighter pack or whatever that is.
That's right. You are correct.
So there's some people who do have the actual, they paid for normally or whatnot through like the process of like the fighter pack. But there's a special type of pack that gets you early access to her like day negative one or day zero, as they would say. So you're probably going to see a few people playing her, but a lot more probably tomorrow.
Yeah, the patch is definitely already out for her to, you know, obviously be compatible with your system for those that already have it online. So your game knows what the hell to look for when they're like Enchantress file. What's that? Let's load that up. So I got to, you know, I got to sit down and watch the majority. I tend to go right for the big block where they right before they talk about gear, because if you ever watch one of the Watchtowers, they give a, you know, a small intro. Here's the character. We're going to give you the basics, the moves, the strings. You know, they got guys like 16-bit on there, so he knows in a competitive sense what people are looking for and what the chat likes to see. And then they hit the gear up, you know, his little gear collection of what the character does. So you can see also what other things the character's offering on the casual side of things. And man, when we're talking someone that's going to shake the game up when it comes to zoning, and I don't mean by like she's a zoner, because that's like as soon as I saw her, you know, remember that trailer, I was like, oh, we got Ermac, we got Quan Chi elements here, we got maybe some Green Lantern-esque kind of elements with maybe how she's going to grab you or something. Man, I could not be further from the truth. She is not really a zoner, actually. After watching the stream, she is more of an anti-zoner. She is meant to, like... She has, like, sprinkles of Zatanna in there. That's, like, how I phrased it. No, because she has to put so much stuff on the screen between her character power, her character power being she summons a demon lord. I can't think of a man's name off the top, but she summons him, and he's an independent entity in himself. I think you get to have a button to follow up to a command, a couple commands for him. He can overhead. He can become a pseudo wall that you actually have to jump over in order for the opponent to even get to you. And then he can blow up. And each one has different effects. You know, we got an overhead. We got a blow up with the explosion. You can wall bounce from. You have the wall to kind of lame your opponent away to make sure you get to put things up on the screen, like her reflect wall. Like she just has a wall that she puts up and it can reflect. There's already a list on testyourmite.com of all the projectiles she can reflect in this game. And it's a lot. It is a lie. If you have a projectile, chances are that's getting reflected.
You know what's weird? I didn't expect her to kind of be anti-zony, but she's kind of really strong. Like, and she's strong in the mid-range, like they said. You know, she has those moves that will actually kind of stuff a lot of people.
Yeah, she is a neutral monster. Oh, God, she has advancing moves, 2-3. That's like a mid.
That's so scary.
Like, so basically that Poison Ivy one. So instead of like a mid to low, it's like a double mid. But then you can meter burn it on hit confirm to a block of ice. So you get a back 3. It's insane. She has like a standing low that's very, very far reaching. But you have to, they said her like many characters in this game, resource heavy. Like, she needs to have meter to be effective. It is the truth of the matter. To be the most effective, excuse me. To be the most dangerous, she needs to have meter.
She reminds me of old Supergirl.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like she needed the resources. But, I mean, granted, the old Supergirl, when she used her resources, it still didn't hurt enough. But I feel like this is like, Enchantress will hurt. But she needs to use the meter. Kind of like a little bit like Starfire, I would say.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Like, Star is, like, solid, but she needs meter to really be good. But then, you know, Star can throw enough bolts, enough energy out there, enough plasma to kind of get her meter gain up anyway. Enchantress can do the same, but she does it in a way where, well, I can also just, you know, make sure you can't shoot anything at me, and then... I can hex you, which, by the way, she has hexes, and different random hexes will curse you and make you do different things. Like, if you jump or duck, you will receive damage. Once I heard that, I almost turned off the stream. I was like, oh my goodness, this character.
You know what's weird? They talked about, well, we still talk about the hexes. I just wanted to say, like, they called it's a prism, all right? It's a prism, and they called it like a diamond or something like that. They did not call it what it actually is. There, just so you know, NRS, there is a actual terminology for that. Where she
are we talking her curse or the counter?
Her counter.
Oh my gosh, she has an air dash. I did not even notice she had an air dash. How did I not notice that?
Because she's so good. She has too much.
Okay, her counter is a prism. Yeah, her counter is a prism. I don't think they called it a hex, did they?
No, they called it a diamond.
Oh, a diamond? Yeah. Which is weird. Okay, if we're getting technical here, pal, like, come on.
All right. If anything, it would be like a gem.
Right, okay, so. And again, she has a counter, right? And a counter, she puts up this like diamond, and it's in the middle of a string to boot, right? So she can charge the diamond or prism, as Mazalot wants to call it. If you fully charge it, it becomes an unblockable. But then there's a different variation of it that you have to look at the actual prism yourself. If you're the opponent, you actually have to look at it and notice there's a difference in the effect. If you press a button, if you're like, oh, she's going to try to counter me, I'm not going to charge, so I'm just going to, she's going to try to unblockable me, so I'm going to down one her to make sure I interrupt that. If that's a counter, then bam, you just got hit with a counter to boot. You got red. Like, there's mind games in it. And it's really hard. Like, you can be like, yeah, Dre, you could just, look at it. But it is really hard to look at a mid-match when you're, like, focusing on so much to kind of, like, even for a second, for those six frames or whatever the fastest, I think the fastest frame is six in this game.
Four.
Okay, four. Even for a 1-4, what is not 1-4? What do we call that? 2-1.
Isn't it 2? I think it's just for her, it's just 2-1 something, I think, or just 2-1. I know that's what she has. I think it was
2. Okay, yeah, well... Yeah, for what that is, it's kind of insane to do that mid-match. It's tough. I mean, people will get acclimated to it eventually, but I think that's going to be some super cheesy shit people are going to get away with in the beginning.
I just find it funny because, like, I'm the one person who, like, I like playing Injustice. I like watching it. And obviously, we all know I, like, didn't stick with it because I have my own personal reasons. And I still like playing the game. I still will play it competitively if I had time for it. But I will say this. I played Supergirl in the beginning. And I love Supergirl. Everybody knows I love Supergirl. I still would play Supergirl.
Nobody liked you for that.
I mean, she only got better, man. So here's my thing. I love Supergirl. I like a few of the other characters enough to just play them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
mess around.
I think the funny part is this is the one character I'm actually like excited that would make me want to like come back and be like, yo, I actually would like enjoy playing the game, regardless whether it's competitive or casual. I really think she's a really cool character. Her design is weird as... Look, you guys know how we are. She's weird as fuck, man.
She is.
She's
straight up.
Very weird, okay? Abstract, but I will say this. Come on. I am not going to leave this alone, all right, guys? I always point out the bad shit about every game. And I'm going to point out something bad now. Her stance is very lackluster. No, don't tell me, oh my God. Her stance is very lackluster. Her color palette design is very shitty. You can't tell me it's not. It's like pure, it's like puke green. It's like, it reminds me of a bad version of Devorah.
It's kind of like Booger Green, but like, yo, man, as soon as I saw the throw animation, I was like, that was disgusting. She probably has the best throw animation in the game.
I'll give her that. And crouching in stance, because I really do.
Oh,
like
yeah, her crouching, she is like, yeah, that's the gangster. It's just gangster.
Other than that, but, I have no problems with the character.
Yo, she's got so many tools. Like, I get what you mean. Like, sometimes it takes for a character for you to vibe with to kind of pull you in. And, it might be DLC. It might never happen. It might be DLC. It might be in the next game. But, yeah, man, she's got, like, so many tools. I like her gameplay myself. I am a fan of what I am seeing. She doesn't have a lot of high lows. Like, I like my mix-up characters myself. But she gets to put on so much crap on the screen. She has so many options.
She reminds me of like a mixture of Superman meets like any character in this game that puts stuff on this. It was probably like, I wouldn't say Brainiac, but I would say something more No. I don't know. She, like I said, she's weird. So probably old Zatanna meets like Superman a little bit, or at least Black Adam, because she has that pressure that she can bring to the... And it's cool. She can cancel her prisms when she's doing it, which...
Yeah, I know, man. She's got annoying. Like... Yeah, she's got prism dash cancel, so it's like mind games into layers of anti-zoning into her then character trait. Like, what more, man? What more can you do?
MK all over again, man. They're creating MK characters right now.
Yeah, she's disgusting. I mean, she is saying, your soul is mine. Straight up Shang Tsung nod right there when she EXs your... She can recover health you know, you just dude, she can use her meter as her health. Like I can't, like I keep digging. And the more I think about it, the more options I'm seeing. Like she has an aura shield of that. And say you're in whatever stage, whether you're in second bar of life, last 10%, or at full life, if you have meter and you put on this mana shield and you get comboed, guess what? It's not your health that's being taken. It's your meter. It's insane. I saw that mechanic. I was like, yo, NRS, that is awesome. Because they're like, they're just pulling something else out the fucking hat. Like they are straight up doing something different. I like it when they create these awesome mechanics. So this character just has me excited for many reasons. That one was kind of what did it for me. I was like, what? Like now we're talking meter into this too? Like, I mean, sure, we already do because of Clash and all that, but you know, even 16-bit said it on the stream itself, like there were so many matches like within the studio, within the office that people were like, why won't she fucking die? Because like, you know, she's got like basically pseudo more health than any other character in the game, technically. Not armor, more health. That's the crazy part.
I think that's just cool that they're willing to, that you could be in the studio and everybody feels the same way about a new character. And no matter what, like they're probably learning. They're like, okay, we could beat her. She's beatable. But it's just like she just has too many options. And I think that they need to focus on their next set of characters to be exactly like this. Unique, weird as hell, and have just a very, very cool flow so that it appeals to everybody.
Yeah, I just can't wait to see what people are going to do. I mean, like I said, this is day negative zero or day zero, whatever you want to call it. She is live at the time. Well, at the time we're recording, by the time you're hearing this, I think she'll be live for everyone else. And yeah, you can already check out the day zero combos at testermite.com. I already, like, as soon as I saw the stream, I was like, all right, let me scurry over. Look at what people are already mentioning. Like I said, someone already compiled the list of all the projectiles she's reflecting, and it's long, man. So yeah, I just can't wait to see the combo videos. It's going to be dope. Her gear as well, like, as if I couldn't say she has a little bit of Zatanna on, and she literally has Zatanna's, like, illusion move in there. She has Charlie's Sonic Boom in another piece of gear. Like, it's straight up Sonic Boom. Like, it's, or not Charlie, excuse me, Guiles. It's Boom to V Trigger or V Skill Boom, like, combo where it becomes a cross. It's literally the same thing. I don't care what NRI says. Like, oh no, it's a cross because of her and being a witch. No, bro, that is literally a fucking Sonic Boom.
I'm just surprised that she summoned a demon instead of just summoning her brother. I thought, I mean, I'm be honest, I thought that would have been cool if it summoned her brother. And yeah, he kind of just did whatever the hell he wanted. Like, it was RNG. Like, he just either overhead, whatever, you just react off of it.
Yeah, but the thing is, she does have, like, funny enough, we brought RNG. Like, her hexes are RNG. You can't control that. So, you know, she's got some, she's not, like, OP, but she's pretty damn good right now. She looks like a lot of fun. And I can't wait for the lab monsters to get a hold of her. But yeah, you know, by the time you guys are hearing this, she'll be live. Tell us what you think, man. Tweet us out. If you like her, thumbs up. If you hate her, thumbs down. If you think Sonic Fox is going to pick her up and do stupid stuff, then don't tweet at me at all. So, yeah, KOF. This isn't game related, but this, you know, I look at a lot of the different sites when we're gathering our resources and, you know, any kind of news updates. And this one came from the Fighters Generation. If you don't know what the Fighters Generation is, you should definitely go check it out. It's something I think it's been running just as long, if not longer, than SRK at this point in time. Yeah. I think it's like 2 decades worth of time. This guy's been like the webmaster for it.
It will exceed. Unfortunately, I'm saying this, but it will exceed over SRK forums in general, at least, because SRK forums are shutting down. So, yeah. Fighters Generation, you're the next in line to the whole
maybe it's their time. Maybe it's their time.
Yeah,
I always liked them for their artwork and the sprite art that they always hosted and stuff. They just have like a really cool repository of things.
True.
Anyway, yeah. So KOF 14, you know, the latest version of the game right now. There's a new manga adaptation called The King of Fighters: A New Beginning. It's being published monthly by Shonen Series Online on the manga app. I don't want to keep swapping between the two. Sorry about that, folks. It's currently only in Japanese.
Yeah. Duh.
I mean, there's already translations going on officially. There isn't no English translation, so this is all being fan made. But yeah, they have, I think, chapter 1 and chapter 2 online. You can go check it out. You're already seeing the new characters, even on the cover. You see Iori and Kyo, but then you see, what's these two cats named? The one with the headphones and...
If I remember it off the top of my head, it's like she something. Don't quote me on that. I'll remember later. Probably sometime in the middle of the episode, I'll be looking it up or something. But I will say this though.
Shune, something like that. S-H-U-N-E-A-E-I.
Shune. I think it's Shune. Either way, I suggest everybody prepare themselves. If you can't read it in Japanese, this looks like it's going to be a good manga. Like,
the artwork is clean. Dude. Like, it is just, like, you know, if you're like me, man, yeah. I look, if I'm ever going to open up a book, like, if I pick up a comic or anything, whether it be American or not, I instantly, like, the artwork has to sell me. I am a big stickler. I don't know if I'm shallow. Maybe I am. But like the line art needs to be clean, and like already I was like, damn, yeah, I will read this shit. It looks really good.
I'm just impressed. Even for, and I'll be honest, it's a little short. I don't know if that's just on purpose because it's new. But the first two chapters are pretty short. It's kind of like introductions. So I would say don't expect much from the first two chapters. It's just like probably 10 pages each. Which is, it's still fairly a good amount, but for how detailed it is, I think it's worth the start off like this. Because I'm pretty sure it's just going to go all into story after they do the introductions of the teams.
Yeah, I just can't wait to see the fight scenes, how they're going to illustrate that.
That's going to be ten whole pages.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be sick. So, yeah, not much going on in KOF besides that, right? Now. Oh, and Maita-kun. Is the homeboy with the pillow.
Yeah, that's who I used to play. I like him. He's cool.
I was about to say, like, I thought you played one of those two guys. I just couldn't remember which one. But yeah, so Dissidia, there's a pre-launch event that had just been announced, actually. So Final Fantasy City is launching on PlayStation 4 in Japan on Thursday, the 11th, which is by the time you hear this, that is today. To ring in the new game's launch, Square Enix will be hosting a special pre-launch event stream the day before on Wednesday, January 10th. So if you're listening to this and this is the first time you're hearing this, guess what? You missed it. So hopefully you've seen this. If not, most likely there's going to be some sort of VOD or somebody online is going to VOD it. It is going to be on Nico Nico and on YouTube. So yeah, they're just going to have a pre-launch event talking about some of the gameplay secrets. Additionally, they're going to bring up some of the new information pertaining to both like NT and on the PlayStation and the original Dissidia NT in the arcade. So yeah, it's launching January 11th in Japan, so we're gonna start seeing gameplay as soon as you are hearing this podcast. You can probably roll it up on YouTube, probably maybe even on Twitch. You might see some people streaming it, and it'll be out in the east then, and out here in the west it's gonna be out January 30th. So keep your keep your hands tight, man. Don't worry, it's coming.
I'm literally buying a PS4 again for that.
Well, actually, and funny enough, so I forgot about it, but the open beta that's happening for the game, January 12th to the 21st, is happening here on the West. So luckily, if you're hearing this, cool, we got to help you out. Tomorrow is the start of the beta. Make sure to go sign up or get yourself ready. In the meantime, if you don't want to, just got to wait till the 30th. And also, January 17th, man, they got like so many events going on. They have so many dates on this game alone. January 17th is the Fantasy Final event. Final Fantasy, Amazon event, so whatever that we talked about last episode about, you know, the FGC streamers and content creators all coming together for this tournament. If you haven't reserved yet through Amazon, that is the only way you can get into the brackets to get yourself a chance to win yourself a arcade cabinet alongside things like sound bars and really dope figurines and many, many other goodies. So yes, January 17th, tune in to Twitch, because if it's being promoted by Amazon, Amazon owns Twitch, so it's definitely on Twitch. Go check it out on twitch.tv, and yeah, hopefully, you know, one of your brackets win, man. Hope the best for you guys. Dragon Ball FighterZ, man, we are getting really close. Damn. We are getting so close. T-minus, what is it? T-minus, like, five days.
January 26th, man.
Wait, 26. Oh, sorry. No, I'm thinking the beta. The beta is the 14th to the 15th.
Yeah, so I'm not looking at that. I'm past that already. Okay. I'm ready to play.
We have some details on that actually as well. So they released two small trailers. I don't know why, because they kind of did breakdowns on these characters already, but maybe they're just keeping the, the interest high. So we got a Super Saiyan God or Super Saiyan Blue Vegeta character trailer. These are 40 to 50 seconds. They're nothing.
Before we dive in, I just want to tell you real quick. I can tell you also why they're doing this. Keep in mind, they do have Dragon Ball Super CCG. So that's probably also what they're corresponding to, because the previous seasonal cards just released about a few months ago or so, or I mean about a month ago or so, and their new season's coming out. But their previous season did consist of Super Saiyan God Vegeta and also Goku Black, better known as Rose as well. So there's this probably to also push up sales for the cards as well, because these two characters currently are in that deck as well.
Well, there you go. So there's Mez's insight on the industry right there. So yeah, a Goku Black and a Super Saiyan Blue Vegeta trailer has been out. But on top of that, also, we got some open beta details. This is something we were kind of speculating as well, because there was no info out until today. So they released the actual list of characters that will be in the beta on the 14th through the 15th, stages, and even modes, man. They kind of went a little bit above and beyond on this beta for us. So this is like a small sampling. We got a little bit of new, got a little bit of old in it. So we got the characters that we're going to have here is Super Saiyan Goku, Super Saiyan Vegeta, Adult Gohan, Frieza, Kid Buu, Cell, Piccolo, Krillin, Nappa, 18, a.k.a. Bay, and Beerus. Solid selection. They obviously took away like Gohan, Trunks, 16. Who else? Yamcha. Well, Yamcha and Tien weren't even in the beta, like in the first beta anyway. So they're leaving the top tier characters out. That's why. So I think this is a solid selection. I mean, I don't know what else to say. It's more than what we have, and what we have right now is nothing. So gotta be happy for it. So we got our stages too. So what stages we got, Meza?
So we got Planet Namek, which you know was one of the originals, as well as World Tournament Arena. We got West City.
I think that was another one.
Yeah.
As well. That was the only city stage.
I think these are the only three that were accessible prior. But now we got Volcano, which I don't
Volcano?
Know. It's a volcano. Okay. Maybe it's outside of it. Wasteland, Cell Games Arena, which I can't wait to play on.
That's going to be cool.
Rocky Filled Evening. So I guess the Rocky Filled Evening, we did see some clips of that. And yeah. I think the Wasteland or the West City, one of those are the ones that we've seen them playing with, like Perfect Legend and Maximilian. So there was one of those stages that looked really good. But I know they played on Rocky Field in the evening too.
Gotcha. So on top of that, we have a nice little handful of modes. So we got World Match, which I am going to assume that is online. Battle Tutorial. Okay, good. So you can. In case you missed out the first beta, not to leave you high and dry and you jumping into this going like, well, I wasn't in it. How am I supposed to know how this works? Which I don't even think the beta, there was no tutorial in the beta.
No, there was not.
I don't remember. I remember just jumping in and like learning. So ranking. So I guess there'll be some sort of rankings as to your list. There was that as well in the original beta. And like the original was like, this is going to get wiped afterwards. We got a replay channel. So that's cool. I wonder if it's like, remember Street Fighter 4 replay channel? We can like just pull anybody's.
I hope so.
And Street Fighter 5 too. I think they have the same way. Maybe they can filter by characters, all that kind of good stuff. Stamps, limited set. So I'm assuming lockout maybe? I'm thinking lockout, like you lock out characters or like, oh, villains only or Saiyans only or androids only or something like that. Or maybe Dragon Ball Super only.
Kind of like how you pick the character, like pick your team characters or something like that. I don't know, man. That's weird.
That'd be actually, you know, yeah, you're right. Maybe like specific teams. Think of like KOF, like the actual teams or their, you know, that actually are canon to each other, that are actual teams in the lore. Maybe that's the same way here. So let me see. Lobby avatar customization. Okay. So I guess that's not just in the lobby only. And two dramatic scenes. I'm wondering if this is story based or if this is just straight up like, Goku versus Frieza, Vegeta versus 18. So something from the actual series is what I'm guessing.
I would think it's like, because in dramatic scenes in Alpha, it was like.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was like that. So.
Yep, that's right. Remember that's we talked about that. It was like Ken and Ryu versus Bison, Charlie versus Bison specifically. Yeah. Everybody versus Bison. Actually, it was pretty dramatic.
So I'm wondering if they're going to give us one or two characters to fight with. Versus maybe like three or just one character, which would be pretty cool if they like make them stronger and stuff like that for these dramatic battles. I kind of want to see what that's more about. I'm hoping that these modes will be really entertaining and enjoyable.
I mean, just for the beta, maybe, you know, That's good that they're putting it out there. So plenty of content for those that aren't just trying to do this competitively will also enjoy, you know, the fun of reliving those moments.
Can I just say I love Cell's pitcher because he's like it's all a mind thinking. Game.
He's always thinking. He's straight up that meme. Just, you know, can't what is it? What are we gonna say? Can't be. You know, I'm not even gonna try to make up the meme right now. I kind of put myself on the spot. I was gonna say something about destroying the world or something like that. Oh yeah, when he like self-destructed, like can't lose if there's no world to, you know, for anybody to win in or something like that.
That's good.
I know it was horrible. Hashtag DB Fighters Beta if you want to tag them in anything. They seem to want to promote that hashtag. So there you go. These are your details for the beta, which, like I said, T-minus 5 days, technically 4 days by the time you, 3 days by the time you hear this podcast. And of course, January 26th, though, is the actual release. That's your full-blown game right there. So we are getting the real close. I am so mad at the same time I'm going to be in Japan when this drops.
They'll probably have something there, even though, you know, GameStop last one. So
yeah. So Soul Calibur 6, this is actually some fun stuff. This was a last-minute find, too. I thought, like, Soul Calibur was rather under the radar for most of the time. I was, like, you know, looking at things throughout the week until this episode. But then last second, once again, Fighters Generation coming through. I got to see a really interesting post from them. So a YouTuber by the name of Hayate, E-I-N, so Ein. Guess he seemed, looking at his content, he is a very big Soul Calibur community content creator, or rather, he's a very dedicated one at the very least. He decided to take on the actual limited gameplay we have from Soul Calibur 6, and he developed a video called Soul Calibur 6 Gameplay Mechanics Analysis and News. So he's looking at the gameplay between Mitsurugi and Sofitia and analyzing what's returning, what returning mechanics are coming in from, as well as the new mechanics that we got to see. And it is super informative. I kind of already noticed some of the things right off the bat, but Soul Calibur not being like my biggest game that I follow. You know, obviously, I still have plenty to learn. But things like wall splat, you notice the barricade, like, breaking. So, you know, what Soul Calibur is known for is, time, you know, ring outs, of course, right? So there's some stages that have been around that, you know, you have to break the wall in order to get a ring out, which then makes it, you know, it shifts the match in a certain way where now that's a danger zone for any of the players. So if your back is against the wall and now the wall is no longer there and you're still in that same kind of zone, then you have to kind of play differently. You have to, like, it's a lot of these small little intricate things that make Soul Calibur very interesting and such a really good fighter because it makes you think in different ways. Yeah. Armor breaks were on there, of course. We have the cancels. Attack, you know? Yes, of course. He has a laundry list, and then the big part for me was when he kind of talked about the things that he saw that were new. Like the CE ending, or what is it, the critical edge ending. So if you finish a match with critical edge, you get a really cool, like, ending scene. Kind of like, just like in Dragon Ball Fighters, where if you do something specific to, I think, a character that has, like, some sort of connection. Like, I think it's if Trunks beats, is it Trunks or, I think it was Trunks was one of them. If he uses burning attack or he does the slicing motion with, like, Frieza, you get, like, a specific, like, kind of frame. Or a kind of video to see, because that's how he defeated Frieza in the show. It's the same thing here. You get to see some really cool custom endings for, you know, characters that do specific critical edges. Then we got, like, you know, break attacks. We've got Soul Charge. Soul Charge being, I thought, very interesting.
That's new.
It's like a pseudo X Factor. I know a lot of people like when it, I think about it because it hits the basics. It looks like it's a one-off. You can either do it once per round, or I'm assuming once per game, because, you know, even Dragon Ball Fighters has it. It's the Z Burst, right? What is it called? The Soul Charge. So it looks like maybe you can do it more than once.
Yeah, so that's 1 meter, what I'm saying.
Critical edge and back button. You get to do this, like, you get to power up your movement, your attacks. But at the same time, you also get, like, a burst. It could deflect. It pushes anyone back if they're blocking, if they're mid-attack, about to attack. It's not like you get armor, but I don't know if it could be stuff, but it doesn't look like it. You know, you push your opponent back, so it gives you space. It's a space creator. So it strengthens your attacks for as long as that bar is going on. So I just thought that was really cool. it does like damage on guard apparently. So it's just like an all out, like you turn this on, you're gonna go offensive kind of deal.
Yeah. So the next thing that I actually really want to talk about is called the lethal hit. It's pretty cool as a new mechanic because what it does is it armor breaks and it stuns, elongated stun. And the cool part,
very, very long.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of DOA's critical stun. So like when you get a exactly the same thing, but it's really cool because like there's no guessing, obviously, once you get it. But like once you hit somebody, you're like, well, that's a critical, that's a lethal hit. And it's only on specific moves, but it's like, yo, once you get hit, that's going to probably be a full elongated combo to a lot of damage. So I like that they added this because it makes people realize like they can't just rely on doing the same move over and over and over. And now they have to utilize maybe these lethal hits. Once they get in depth with it and figure out which moves do lethal hits, people are going to have to look for it now. So that's where the mind game comes in. And I love that they added this as a really kind of like to kind of mesh with everything else with the soul charge and the break attacks.
Yeah. So like that mechanic, I was pretty like interested in, but then the big one that I kind of didn't realize how like in depth was, I am more interested in seeing like where, like if this was just his analysis straight up, if it was just him breaking it down, looking at the video and kind of like really, really hitting the fine details that are there that cats like us just didn't notice. Holy hell, man. Because I didn't remember seeing any kind of like release from Namco about like, you know, oh, this is what this is, or this is what this is. I just remember the trailer, the gameplay, character select screen, and then we got that 10-minute breakdown, which is what a lot of his footage is coming from. So the big thing that hit me was Reversal Edge, which is a one-mapped button. So it's just the one button to do this specifically. And it's it is like an impromptu clash slash you add that to like Tekken 7 slow-mo, right? You add that to it, you sprinkle that on top, but then there's inputs in between. Now that you're playing rock, paper, scissors almost, but with like eight different outcomes or eight different buttons. So you have your three basic attacks, so you have three offensive attacks. So it could be A, B, or K, but then there's five defensive options with it. Depending on your defensive options, which is crouch, backdash, guard, sidestep, or GI, which is, what is it? Guard impact?
Yep.
Yeah, guard impact, which gives you advantage over other attacks. You know, it is all about like what you decide to pick. If you both opponents pick the same thing, you literally loop the clash all over again. Guard being the safest option, sidestepping, it's kind of a give and take. But he even developed a whole chart as to like how each one wins. Like, you know, if you go horizontal attack, it's even with other horizontal attacks, but it loses to vertical attacks. It has advantage on kick or sidestep. It loses to crouch, technically. It has advantage on backstepping. On guard, it's even because guard just usually kind of stays even, but then guard impact, it loses to. Like, he has the whole chart actually all laid out for you right there on his video. So if you want to get the whole, it's only like six minutes, 50 seconds. So, you know, 7 minutes out today to really like up your game. Just from watching this, I was like, wow. Like my knowledge on what I'm expecting from Soul Calibur 6 just like went up tenfold just from this guy. So yeah, so real quick, shout outs to Hayate Ayn. Awesome video, man. Thank you very much for putting that out there for us to watch and enjoy and learn. If you're listening and you have any kind of inclements to actually play Soul Calibur or just interested in the mechanics of it, go check that out. That is Hayate Ayn, A-I-N, on YouTube. And it is Soul Calibur 6 Mechanics Analysis.
And keep in mind, he did get invited to actually work on Soul Calibur 6. So we should expect a lot more from him just in general.
There you go. So this little tidbit also came in last minute. So there's going to be an actual Soul Calibur 6 playable build out at Evo Japan this year. They didn't disclose as to what exactly, like what build is going to be, if they're going to be just like Mitsurugi and Sofitia, or if there's a character that's going to be announced by then or there, and then they're going to be playable there, kind of like how they did with Geese, if you remember. They announced Geese, and then at the Iron Fist tournament, like he had a build there on the side. Maybe they might do the same here. We're not sure. But on top of...
They did that a lot actually for Tekken 7 at a different events, but they also did that for Killer Instinct too. So I wouldn't see them doing anything other than bringing an extra character or two for people to try out. I mean, come on, man. You don't even have to worry about Dragon Ball FighterZ now. You have something else to look forward to.
Yeah, exactly. So on top of that, they're also going to be running a Soul Calibur 5 side tournament on PlayStation and Xbox 360 there, obviously, to keep the hype going, to kind of be like, hey, you know, you might want to jump in and play a little bit, get the rust off the blade a bit, so that way you're good. So, yeah, so Soul Calibur 6, you're going to definitely see some gameplay coming out of there. Hopefully I'll be able to get my hands on it and get some recordings to show you guys while I'm out there. MVC, yo, what is up with your game, man? What's up with your boy? Look,
we thought we were getting an announcement at KIT, and they fooled us. It was an announcement for not Marvel. Honestly, we're in a good spot. I'm sorry. I have to say it because
you think it's solid right now?
This is one of those moments where people, besides the unblockable stuff, which people mm-hmm. seem to not be using like that, here's how I look at it real quick. We need about 6 to 8 months before we hear any more actual changes or anything like that, because that's how long usually it takes for another edition of a game to come out anyway. So am I worried? No, we got like 3 or 4 events to get through, and then maybe we can start talking about, hey, do we need to patch anything? Do we need to like update some things? I think right now the game's fine.
Okay.
But we should.
I mean, no DLC, no more DLC, Nina? You think what's been added is plenty?
No, I definitely think we need to see the release of, and this is the honest truth, it doesn't matter about what's happening with the whole like buying out stuff for Disney and all this other stuff in Fox. We need to see the movies that are coming out. When those release, I think we'll get another DLC announcement. So I'm hoping when we get this like whole weird horror movie, X-Men type deal, we get those characters and implement it. And I'm still voting for Emma Frost. Please, you guys gave me Captain Marvel, and I would just love it if you put Emma Frost in the game.
You said Emma, and I instantly thought Emma Stone, and Gwen Stacy. Then I thought Spider-Gwen. So I was like, why do we need another Spider-Man character in this? Sorry, that's how my mind just like went, dude. I jumped like 8 different ways. Emma Frost would be dope. Emma Frost would be dope. She's never been in a Versus series, to my knowledge. Not even like assist-wise or anything. So
I'm calling for the Marvel gods, please. Emma Frost, and if you... I won't ask for anything more, because if I say Sentry or anything like that, you guys are going to think that I'm crazy. So just give me Emma Frost. I'll be happy with that. Put whatever other X-Men you want in there. Just whatever.
So, yeah. Marvel's dead. Confirmed. No, it's not dead. It's just hanging back right now. I think maybe Meza, you might be right. It might be in a... I don't want to say it's necessarily in a good place. I just think it's in an all right place right
it's
now.
It's in a better place than it could be.
It needs to take a step back and just readjust itself.
Look at Street Fighter 5, basically.
Yeah, look at Street Fighter 5. So Street Fighter 5, we got training mode colors to help you. So if you've ever been in the scene and like heard the lingo being spilt out when it comes to things like, oh, frame advantage, you know, you got numbers being thrown in. You're like, why is there negatives and positives? I'm just trying to press buttons and shoot Hadoukens and put fists up some people's asses. You know, like that kind of deal. Well, now Street Fighter 5 got you covered. So there's a new thing now that's been like screenshotted and now confirmed, that in training mode there is an option called frame advantage in color. So basically, if you're in the red, if you do a certain series of moves like double strong from Ryu, you know, you'll see whether or not Ryu will be in advantage or disadvantage depending on the situation. If you have the AI blocking, if you're in advantage, it means you are in plus. So meaning plus is you get to press a button and it will be faster. It will come out faster than your opponent's button that he will press, even if he presses it at the same time. By a certain amount of frames. So say you have a 7-frame jab. I'm just throwing numbers out there. Versus a 6-frame, which is your opponent's. And you did a move that gives you +2. That means in those, you have, so it takes those 2 frames. Those 2 frames are technically, I guess you can say, they're subtracted from whatever next button you press. So it lowers it by 2 frames. So your 7 now becomes a 5. So if you press it at the same time as your opponent's is still a 6. But now because of the move that you just did that left you in this advantageous position, now you're 5. You will beat out your opponent's button, even though technically their character has a faster button. I know it seems kind of ridiculous when like I broke it down like that. Even I kind of hated myself for doing it that way. But guess what? Street Fighter has it easier. If you're blue, you're an advantage. If you're in red, you're at disadvantage, as well as your opponent. You get to see it on both ends. So Yeah, that, I just thought that was a really cool feature. It's going to make things easier for people. Instead of like people trying to break it down like that, like you know, you go as far as getting cameras or captures and going frame by frame and like learning. Sometimes some people, you know, don't get me wrong, there are players that can just like tell. Like you, once you've done it enough, you're like, you're inclined enough that you can just feel when something's faster, or you can just do the simple math. Like most of the time, like say in Injustice games, there's the frame data right there. No, it's not usually correct all the time. You have to wait a patch or two to make sure it's right. But, you know, it gives you at least an idea. Street Fighter 5 doesn't give you data, if I'm correct. It doesn't give you any data numbers. So Street Fighter 5, you know, people will like, they will practice or try stuff out and be like, okay, this is definitely 6 frames. And, you know, look at the information, maybe guides or information that's being put out there by other people that have cameras and done footage. Well, now training mode will help you out there because it'll be able to just tell you by just the color. My thing is, I wonder, you know, I hope it's like super fine tuned, because it would suck if people went through it. Like say you trained only to find out, like, you know, you trained this way to get your setups, or you're going right by what they're saying as gospel. And it's not unheard of for a company to have it wrong. Like I said, NetherRealms is definitely guilty for that, where they've put out frame data that was completely incorrect and you had to figure it out on your own. You know, will Capcom fall for that at any point, or are they so like into the details that like they're confident that no matter what, you know, what they're saying on this training mode, on this mode with frame advantage on, is it going to be true?
Yeah.
You don't have to answer so quickly, Mez. It's okay.
I didn't want to. I really didn't want to, man. Like, here's the thing. Like, as I feel about every game across the board, fighting game, whatever you want to call it, if the game has frame data in it, and you need to have hitboxes and hurtboxes, that should be available right from the start. Just like all of our favorite games have had it, should be that. Mm.
I still think Skullgirls has some of the best when it shows the... Yes. I think Skullgirls shows like the best when it comes to hitboxes.
Yes, like that. Very much.
Hit spheres like in Marvel and shit.
They have everything. They have hitboxes, hurtboxes. They have collision boxes.
Does Marvel have, like, is it hurt spheres or is it hurtboxes?
Okay, see.
Or hitboxes.
See, here's the thing.
Because in 3, that shit was wacky.
I think it's still spheres.
You think it's still spheres?
I think it is. Probably. Because there's shit I've been hit by. Such as Power Stone from behind.
Yeah, I saw that live.
I'm positive it's spheres, man.
Okay.
So it wouldn't surprise me if they kept that dumbass concept.
Okay, we'll see. So on top of that, so we're getting real close to the release to Arcade Edition. So with that comes patch notes. But once these patch notes were translated over at Event Hubs, because they were, I think, sent over live via the Japanese Capcom CFN site. Yep. They were subsequently deleted, apparently, because they were not final. So everything that's been kind of, you know, translated right now, and they have it in that big ass list, take it with a grain of salt. We don't know what's going to be changed, what's not even going to be going to make the time of day, you know. But in the meantime, you can take a look at it and get a general idea as to maybe where things are going to be going. I know it seems kind of like redundant to saying, oh, we got patch notes, but they're not final. It's like, so what's the point? I would just wait. I mean, the release will be in 5 days as you're listening to this podcast on the 16th. So maybe by then there'll be some final patch notes coming out.
All I'll say is, from what everybody's been saying, Ryu's going to be busted if this is real.
I heard the opposite. I heard he might be ass.
No, Ryu's getting a lot of buffs if this is a real thing. And let's just say
my source about that.
Let's just say this way. Daigo might be back in action.
Damn, okay. They just need to give Evil Ryu already. Like, it's going to happen. Evil Ryu is going to be a thing. Sorry, guys. He's been teased too much already in the trailers. He's going to come back. So, yeah. So, with that, actually, that's going to do it with our game updates for this episode. We're going to go right into our randoms of the FGC when we're talking about who's talking smack. Apparently, a couple of voice actors right now. And, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. And maybe possibly what you've missed. What good matches have gone by since our last episode. So apparently, not apparently, because I've seen the screenshots and I saw the Twitter feed. So Christopher Sabat, or if you want to call him Sabat, and Sean Schemmel. I don't know if I can pronounce his name correctly, but these are the voice actors for Goku and Vegeta in the Funimation, you know, the English translation of things in the dubs. apparently they're kind of they're battling right now. Dragon Ball FighterZ has all kinds of people stepping up to the FGC plate, and they're trying to settle the score between Goku and Vegeta. And then we have an awesome Twitter user who decided to tweet out and add Mr. Wizard to it and Evo. And Evo's like, we would love to do this. And then Funimation's like, hey, let's talk. Shoot us a DM.
That was so
professional, right? Like for Funimation, yo, hit us up with a DM, son. So maybe we'll see a nice little exhibition come Evo, because, you know, FighterZ comes out this month. This will be the first year at Evo that the game will be there and most likely will be a main stage, because it is hype. It is new. It is fresh. It's going to bring all kinds of new people out. Why not throw in an exhibition to add to the numbers? So that's going to be cool. I don't know who'd win. I think Vegeta would be a little dirtier. And considering also he's not exactly a stranger to the FGC. For those that don't know, you know, he gave even a K-Brad that birthday message or something like that as Vegeta. Yeah. He actually voiced it, and K-Brad lost his fucking mind. So
I'll say this: I think it would be cool to see. I'm obviously on board with this because they have a big fan base. But they should do it like the UFC fights or the boxing matches where they have like a post like pretty much shit talk. Mm-hmm. And ask questions, and I think it'd be cool because people, they could disguise it as a panel almost at Evo, and
that would be kind of dope.
That would be the dopest pitch ever. It's a quote unquote panel, but it's actually like them talking shit to each other and how, like, you know, they're gonna do whatever and the match, stuff like that. But I think it would be pretty good because Funimation would be behind it and say they're doing a lot of the work. So. I mean,
and they would push it too. That's the thing. I see no wrongs here.
Yeah, I think this is all positives. I would love to see this happen 100%. God, this is like the best. I'm sorry. This is like the best time to be alive. We have too many good moments in like history of like just gaming in general right now. That's being
This will be pretty hype. So I'm most likely this is going to happen. I don't see, like I said, I see no faults in it. Funimation sees promotion. You know, the voice actors see exposure. We get hype. The game gets exposure. They get numbers. It's a win-win for everybody. Most likely it's going to happen. They're probably going to announce it sometime in March. Just put it on your calendars. So on top of that, so Cooperation Cup happened last weekend. And for those that weren't in the know, how Cooperation Cup is a big Third Strike, if not the biggest Third Strike event. That's looks like it's going on yearly now, because I know that one last year. I don't remember there was one in 2016, but I remember one last year, and it was hype. And guess what? This one delivered still. So there's been a highlight reel by Zeus's GB, who's been known to upload a lot of FGC stuff on this YouTube page, and he just has a bunch of the highlights for Cooperation Cup. And we're talking like the OGs. You know, Daigo actually goes out and plays it. Haitane, MOV, I think it was MOV and who was it? They played, there was a pre-Cooperation Cup, which was basically the team-based version of it. And then Cooperation Cup was just like straight up singles. So it was 2 days worth of that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was just like, if you wanted to see godlike Third Strike, that was the stream to watch. I'm talking, you know, Akuma's doing overheads to demon setups that were just like in front of the person, like in front of the opponent, just godlike, just super hype. Seeing Makoto just wreck. I mean, you get to see a lot of A's, if you know what I'm talking about. If you know anything about Third Strike and know what kind of a fucking demon Yun is in that game, to a lot of Chun-Li's. It was just overall awesome to watch. And if you didn't get a chance to see it pre and the single version of Cooperation Cup, the streams are on YouTube. All you have to do is just search YouTube for Cooperation Cup 2018 and you will find it both. I think it's like 10 hours for one of them and another 6 hours. They even have annotations. They got top eights, top fours, and of course grand finals all set up there. So if you missed it, haven't even seen Third Strike on that kind of level, I suggest you go and check it out.
Real quick, this may be like a little sidetrack for like 2 seconds. I noticed what's wrong with Street Fighter V now.
Oh yeah,
I thought I was crazy, but
hold on, everybody, chill back.
This is get the ready. Craziest like notation. Take note into this, guys, forever, and you can't miss this now. Did you notice when we grab in other games, there is a tech like a window after you've teched the grab where you actually see the teching of the grab and it pushes you both back to a certain distance?
Yeah,
there's none of that in Street Fighter V.
Well, Street Fighter V kind of does that. And actually, as a matter of fact, they're kind of doing that regardless of in Arcade Edition. When you throw, now you get pushback like crazy. There's no throw loops.
Good. Cause, like,
for people.
Yeah, because like I was thinking about it. I was like, why is Street Fighter V having so much problems with like the whole grab system? And I thought about it. I was like, oh, man, it's looking like old school MVC3 where you could just tech for fucking like 10 times in a row and it still keeps going. So I know you remember that.
Oh, yeah. But no, there's tech grabs for sure. They're not as like as distant as like Third Strike. Yeah, Third Strike, when you tech grab, you get a solid distance. Like here you get like, let me see, it's about a square's worth of space. If you look at the training stage distance, that's how much you get when you tech a grab between the two. But in Third Strike, it's like a solid hop, or so it's like a character and a half almost. So I don't know, it resets it maybe a little bit better, but apparently, Street Fighter V's issue is teching, guys. Now you know. You already hear
it. It just bothered me. I'm sorry.
Capcom, there you go. There you go, guys.
Capcom, fix that shit.
Fix that shit, son. So, yeah, that's actually going to do it for our random section. And we don't really have a focused attack or travel. This is kind of more of a foreshadowing to travel segment for us. So, if you guys have been listening in, you know that the Go for Broke Winter Championships is happening in Atlantic City. These are the guys that have been running a monthly out in Philadelphia. Now, actually, they're doing small weeklies as well for people to come by and level up. You know, Philly, home of Punk, probably the greatest Street Fighter V player out right now, even though he's kind of getting his ass kicked more recently.
Yeah.
That half-ass Wesley Snipes hair. But straight demolition, man. So, yeah, Go for Broke Winter Championships is happening in Atlantic City this weekend. As a matter of fact, when you're hearing this on the 11th, I will be setting up tomorrow on the 12th, and it's happening on the 13th. I myself am there to stream. I'm one of the producers there. Mez is actually going to be out there to compete.
Yes.
You're out there to actually play. And if you look at the attendees too, man, it is not, you got your work cut out for you, man.
It's not a lot of people, it is, but no slouch. Very, very top tier people. I'm actually excited about it because it's like a prelim to Frosties, but this is more important because NEC was my prelim to this. So
there you go.
If you guys don't know, yeah, I've gotten a lot of good positive feedback from a lot of those players that are going to be there. So this is for me to kind of like fight for my position to be higher than them. So it's going to be exciting. I think it's just going to be fun. Unfortunately, I'm not going to do the All-Stars thing, which I think everybody should go to the hip hop concert afterwards.
Oh, but, yeah. Yep.
You know,
that's all packaged in. It's in the details.
Like, why not?
If you go, you're all hanging out with FGC people anyway, because we have specific seating for us. If not, it's still cool. You still get to enjoy Atlantic City, play some craps, hit the boardwalk, you know, as long as you're not freezing your ass off right now because it's like negative too much. So, yeah, that's kind of like our travel setting, is like a prelude to that because, like I said, I'll be there working it. Mez will be out there playing it. If you are out there, if you're in the tri-state area, or not even just tri-state because there's like people from West Coast coming out, up north, kind of all over. They're heading out over there. And if you want to hang out or say what's up to us, you know, feel free to. I think we'll be rocking our Double Tap shirts there anyway.
Yep.
Just for the hell of it. But yeah, so that's what it's going to be it for the travel segment. We're going to do a post afterwards. So, you know, there's no reason why not. We do a post of that, and then we do a pre for Frosty Fawcett's and what Mez's goals will be at. This is going to be like one of his first stops in his like tour of competing and leveling up. But of course, even though we don't have we didn't have much on the travel segment, we still got plenty of mod highlights for you guys. So this one was one I caught real early on. I think it might even been the day of or right after our last show. So Brutal Ace, if you haven't already, go follow him on Twitter, on YouTube, you know, PC Best Mods links up most of his stuff, and he's on DeviantArt where he shows a lot of his stuff. He did a Laura Melina crossover outfit, and it looks bombing.
That shit is fire.
This is more of a Melina from like, not from like MK X or 9. It's the one previous. So Deadly Alliance, Armageddon, that kind of Melina. It's like she's got like the cover over her face still. Laura has the cover over her face. It's still very revealing, still very much to the style. And it's all got physics too. It's not like it's static or anything. Like it all flows very well. And some of the color palettes she has are really dope too. Yeah, go on. It's Deception. I just saw it. Mortal Kombat Deception. There we go.
I just want to say shout outs to Brutal Ace for actually liking your tweet. Because, like, I noticed that. I caught that mad clean. I was like, Okay. All right. I see you, Brutal Ace. You're paying attention very closely.
I saw it and I was like, you know what? You got to support your guys. You got to support the people that are out there just creating. Like, this is stuff that, like, it'd be cool if Capcom pushed. Now, I don't want to say it has to be more combat related, but, like, you know, give us some more unique costumes and stuff. This one guy is just killing it. This one dude is killing it. And he's just, like, on a rampage. There's no reason why you guys can't do the same. So, yeah, shout out to Brutal Ace for that Laura X Molina costume. And now we have a couple of Marvel mods actually came from the subreddit. This one, I need you to clue me in on this one.
Yeah.
Maybe. But we got Carol, a.k.a. Captain Marvel. She's got some RE outfits. The first one, I'm a little, like, even in with my Resident Evil, like, knowledge, I'm not sure who this is supposed to be. This is supposed to be Hunnigan from, like, Resident Evil 4. If you're a big fan of that. I know what the second set is. This is straight up RE6, Eva. Right, is that her name?
Ava.
Yeah, thank you. Ava. Like, she got, like, it's on par. The first color palette is exactly what she wore. Then she just have a couple of different variations. It looks good on her, honestly. It actually looks very well done. The first one, like I said, it kind of escapes me. It still looks cool.
I'm gonna be honest, I'm not too sure who it is myself, because I've been trying to look a little bit more into it. I'll be honest with you, these pictures don't do it any justice in game, because I have them.
You install all these mods.
Yeah, ASAP, right? I like to look at them and see if they actually do match up to the pictures or do better. And I will say this is the one set of mods that I feel don't do it justice through the pictures. The mods themselves look phenomenal. Like, I think people need to really check these mods out if they haven't for PC. I even actually went to get I guess we could just ride right into it as well, which is the crappy helmet Ultron as well. It actually looks cool, man. I mean, I actually prefer it preferably compared to the old skin. And this one just looks like, I'll be honest, he looks like a little bit of a joke. But at the same time, he reminds me of Arthur. He reminds me of like a version of Arthur that got older.
Yeah, he following the way of the knight kind of deal.
Yeah. Yep. So they're very respectable skins that look really clean in game. 1080p.
Yes, very good.
Gotta see him in 1080p. Nice. Really worth it. Can only imagine on 4K.
So okay, I figured out Revelations 2 FBC costume. Oh, okay. This is from okay.
I played
3DS
one.
Games. The 3DS games. I didn't play Rev 2. I played Rev 1. I probably should play Rev 2. But yeah, it's a raid mode costume that's originally meant for Gina Foley, but it's actually the character Jessica Sherawat, who was in Rev 1 in that wetsuit. Yeah, it's her. That's why I was like, that is deep, man. That is deep in the bag. There's no way I could like figure that one out without Googling it a bit. But yeah. So actually, you know, let me get the notes out. Who was it that actually put these out there?
While you're doing that, to my modders, please. When you're doing these MVCI mods, the only thing I ask, stop picking characters that have already been done. Please start adventuring off to the other characters that haven't been touched that much. Like, preferably Black Widow. I'd appreciate it. Maybe give us a actual Hawkeye, another variation look. Spencer could use another one, please. I just want to see some of these other characters. Like, it's kind of hard to do Hulk because he has such awesome skins already. But, you know, maybe give me a female Thor.
Damn, bro, you're like asking a lot.
I'm stretching there.
These are just costumes. You're talking straight up full mods. Dude,
she can be buff as hell. I don't care. Just give me a few.
Oh, okay. Well, we know what Mez is all into, guys.
No, so, man. Chill.
So this was the mod by the RE6 mods was made by Farsticage. So that was the same guy who did the Hunk mod as well as the Morgan reskin mod that we've also previously highlighted. And Mez himself has actually installed and I've seen play. The mods hold up very well, to my knowledge, and from what I've seen of you playing them, there is no issues whenever you get them done. So they're very well optimized. Yeah, shout outs to you, homie. Thank you very much for the time and putting out the content to for free, you know, for putting in the work and just giving us some stuff that Capcom just doesn't want to go out and do.
I definitely think for your time, you should start building a Patreon, man, because you
do
might,
some
for
good
work.
All we know. He
if
might,
he doesn't,
know.
Do it.
As long
man.
As Capcom doesn't come by and tell you to do a cease and desist. That's just ridiculous.
As long as they don't do that, I will put in a few bucks to get that that Black Widow outfit. I get to choose. I want a Bayonetta Black Widow. I'd appreciate that. Thank you very much.
All right, there you go. So our last mod, this is actually one coming from left field. I also came across it last minute. So Tekken 7 on the PSP. So the mod is for the PSP version of Tekken 6 that turns the game into more of Tekken 7. And it was recently released. It was a collaborative effort by Tekken the Philippines and Tekken Trujillo modding teams to recreate Tekken 7 during... It was like it started when Tekken 7 wasn't actually out here. But the guys, you know, even after the official launch, they decided to push forward and just finish it off. So, you know, it's dedication amongst anything else and lets you play sort of
Tekken 7
on the go on lower powered devices like emulating PSSP and stuff like that on smartphones.
I'm just curious how they had, it's not even the time or the changes. It's more like now that the game is like that, how did they add the additional characters? Like, how did they do any of that stuff? And I can understand the changing of like certain moves or adding additional moves, but damn, how'd you add the other characters?
Yeah,
that's crazy. So
maybe that's something we should probably go and reach out and say what's up to them about. But you can check out the mod at Global on the Global Tekken Blogspot or the, you know, the Global Prime mod on the Global Tekken mod page. You can go out, Google it, and it's free and it's out there for you guys. If you know, if you want to take Tekken 7 on the go, this is your chance. And with that, you know, we're actually, that's going to be the it for the mod highlights. So that's going to close us out for this episode. Of course, we have one or two announcements still finish off. Of course, we talked about it already. Go for Broke Winter Championships is going on this week. Feel free to go and check them out on Twitch at Nerd Street Gamers, nerd as in N3RDST Gamers. And of course, Evo Japan is happening the 26th to the 28th. I will be out there. I will be out there live streaming it on the Mash Those Buttons Twitch page, which I'm going to plug in a second because now we're going to jump into our... Oh, what's up?
Also, don't forget, Frosty Frostings is 19th and 20th. So if you want to get your anime on, there's going to be tons of anime games. Remember, that is also Friday and Saturday. It is not a Saturday and Sunday event, so keep that in mind.
Yeah, they want you guys heading home and chilling out on that last day. But thanks a lot for hanging out. Thanks for listening. You guys are just awesome for just chilling with us for another episode here. You can check out this podcast in many different platforms, including iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Overcast for iOS, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Player.fm, Pocket Cast, SoundCloud, Podbean. And of course, if you can't get to any of those, we have our RSS feeds. And you can check out any of these platforms right on the Mash Those Buttons website, which is mashthosebuttons.com. And of course, you can check us out on social media. This show specifically at Double Tap FGC. You got MTB at MTB site for the main Mash Those Buttons website. For me, if you want to reach out for me personally at Crash Site VS, Meza, where can they find you at?
You guys can find me at Daniel Meza. Obviously, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, everything.
And he's on his Twitch grind. So if you definitely want to catch him, talk some shit, maybe play some matches for him, it's definitely on his Twitch page. The guy's very active on that. Facebook.com/smashthosebuttons and of course youtube.com/smashthosebuttons. We're gonna not only on the Facebook but also on YouTube. I'm probably gonna end up archiving the Japan trip as well. So if you missed the stream, you can also check it out there. And of course we have our Discord at discord.me/smashthosebuttons. We can chill out, talk, look for people to hang out, play us. Discuss things, discuss the show, or even talk about any of our other podcasts, such as Watchpoint Radio, WoW Talk, Torn of the Goblin, of course, Sit Rep Radio, you know, all our other homies that are out there. And the best way you can also contact us, whether it be through social media, is also the comments section below on the actual Mash Those Buttons website. Those comments go right to Jared, and Jared sends us right to our inboxes and hails us until we actually answer them. And the best way you can also support us, guys, is share, tweet out the episodes, like the retweets, like the actual tweets as well when we announce it. And just, you know, if you think somebody might have some love for us out there, feel free to just spread it word of mouth as well. We appreciate you guys hanging out again for another episode. And we'll catch you guys next week when right before the madness of, what, like 2-3 betas drop.
Oh, my God.
And a game or two happens. So I'm going to go get ready. I'm going to go get my armor on. And I'll see you guys on the next episode.
And I'm going to just go do some games done quick all week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go. Support. So
if you guys haven't, go check that out too.
All right. See you guys later. Peace.